Well, good afternoon and welcome to our Harvest Thanksgiving service. Lovely to see you all here. Special welcome to our visiting speaker, Darren Arthur. Thank you very much for the gifts you brought. These will be going to Feedon's Homes. It's our Harvest Thanksgiving and we're praising God for his goodness to us. It would be good to read a couple of verses. This is from Genesis chapter 1. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, and for days and years. And let there be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater lights of all the day, and the lesser lights of all the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw it, and it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Okay, so that reading is about what God created on the fourth day. And there it actually says, "Let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons." Now, I wonder who's got their brain switched on and can tell me one of the four seasons. There are four different seasons. Who can tell me one of the four seasons that we have? Jacob. Can you think of one of the four seasons we have? Winter. Good boy. Fantastic. Winter. And Bethany? Spring. Good. We've got two. Four. Anything else? Spring, winter. Come back to me. Summer. Missing one. We're in it. Was that? Autumn? Was that autumn? Of course it was. Fantastic, okay. So we have four different seasons. This is a harder question. Why is it important that we have seasons? Because God, when he created the world, the way he actually created the world, the sun and the moon, the universe, he actually created it so we get different seasons. Why is it important we have seasons? Thank you. Grow food. Okay, so winter time kills off bugs and things. We have springtime, things grow really well, it's wet. Summertime is really nice and warm, but things grow really well. So seasons are very important. Things should grow well. And the way God's created the world is created the world. So things grow well, we have food. Okay, we have different seasons, time of harvesting. Okay, what season are we in right now? Who can tell me? Matthew. Autumn, very good. Okay, we've had the spring, things have grown a lot. We've had summer, lots of sunshine, things are, and now it's time of harvest, okay? September. So we're thinking now all the crops are being collected in. So when we come to pray now, we can thank God the world he's made. Thank God that he's actually created the world with seasons, that things can grow really well. Something else we need to pray for though, there are many people in the world and lots of people don't have as much food as us. I wonder if anybody can estimate how many people there are that are in the world at the moment.
6 billion.
6 billion?
That's a very good estimate.
No more than 6 billion.
There are in fact 6.5 billion people in the world, okay? 6,500,000,000 people in the world. And in actual fact, every second, 3 people are being born. And 2 people are dying. So in actual fact, any one point in the world, there are more people alive than have ever died. So there are 6.5 billion people alive. But the way the food is, you have to remember, some countries have lots of food, and some countries don't have very many. So you need to pray for countries where they don't have as much food as us. People actually share their food out. Okay, so as we pray, we can thank God for the world he's made. We can thank God he actually upholds it, he looks after it, he makes sure that this world keeps going. He sustains it. We can pray for those who don't have as much food as us. Okay, let's come to God and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do come before you and worship you. We thank you that we come before the God of all creation. We come to the one who created the world by the word of his power. And we thank you that you've created such an amazing and fantastic world for us. We thank you, created the world where we have different seasons, we have night and day. And we thank you, Lord, that you uphold your world, you care for it. And Lord, you uphold it by your very word. And Lord, we do come before you today, give you thanks that we're in a land where, Lord, we don't lack for anything, Lord, we have what we need. and Lord, that there's nothing that we go without that we need as essential. That we would pray for those millions and billions actually in countries where they do go without, and often it's through a man's greed, we know. And we pray that in our own way, maybe as individuals and in the way we can, that we will actually share and be those who are willing to give to those who are not as fortunate as us. But Lord, we do thank you most of all that you give us so much more, and Lord, you gave us your only Son. Almighty God, we thank you that your Son was prepared to humble himself and to die on the cross. And we thank you that, Lord, if we are your children, we can call you our Heavenly Father. And Lord, as we continue worshipping now, Lord, we pray you be with us. Help us to think about the things that we say, and help us to worship you as we sing the songs and as we read your word. And we pray that you'll be with Darren, Lord, as he comes and speaks to us in his name. We pray these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Then, let's come and do the Father.
Okay, we're going to be reading from Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read the first six verses, I believe. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he being dead still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Of course, really very nice to be invited. Thank you very much for inviting me here. For those of you who don't know, my name is Darren Arthur. I'm one of the leaders at The Slade over on Plumstead Common. And Wes, one of our ministers there, is in very close contact with Mark on a regular basis and with you guys here. It's very nice to be here. Thanks for inviting us once again. And children, well done on your actions to those songs. Disappointed with your spelling of obedience. Mums and dads have to work on that. Now, let me remind you of the key verse from Hebrews 11. Those of us who have been Christians for many years will know what a significant chapter Hebrews 11 is. And for those of you that don't know the significance of Hebrews 11, go home this evening and read it straight away. And without faith, excuse me, I'm reading from the NIV here, so your verse should be slightly different. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, how many of you like scary rides? Anyone like scary rides here? Like, I'm talking about what they call thrill rides. Thrill rides. Roller coasters. Madam? Roller coasters? Roller coasters? No? Are you two married? Are you married?
No, living together. So,
your work's cut out, Mark. How long have you been married, guys? So you're already on a roller coaster, right? No, yes. He has it worse than you. I see. Okay. Well, I'm absolutely terrified of roller coaster rides. Once upon a time, when we were all younger, we went on our first kind of trip. All of us, all our young people, we went to Chessington World of Adventures before it was all flash, and we went on the back of this rather dodgy sort of creaky, kind of on the back of a lorry kind of ride. You know, I've been on one of those kind of rides run by people who think, I don't think this has been health and safety checks. It was called the Magic Carpet Ride. And basically you sat on the back of this lorry and these kind of hydraulic arms come up and it went round like that. I mean, not much Aladdin in that really, is it? Do you know what I mean? That's about as fast as it went. I'm being realistic here. That's about as high as it went as well. Anyway, I was absolutely petrified. I was rubbish with rides. So when we did our school trip, we were taking our young people away, our 7s, 8s and 9s, our young people away to Euro Disney, I knew that at some point I was going to have to go on what was renowned to be at the time the 8th most scary ride in the world. And it was a ride called Space Mountain. Now, has anyone ever been on Space Mountain? That's your hands on now, sir. So there we go, right. Oh, how many of you have been to America? The American Space Mountain is rubbish. old, and you sit in a log, kind of like a log, and you go around. But in Paris, Euro Disney, you know, being the warm welcome that anyone would expect from the French, in Paris, where they built a new Space Mountain, they built it really, really, you know, really scary, because no one was going to Euro Disney. When it opened up, because of where it was, or because of the rain, or wherever it was, nobody went to Euro Disney. They thought, well, we've got to sort this out. So what we'll do is we'll build another Space Mountain, but not like the old one, with a log. You go around in a log, like this. Instead, we'll build a really scary one. We'll call it Space Mountain. And at the time, it was unveiled as the eighth scariest ride, the eighth most thrilling ride in the world. Okay, you guys were number nine. Okay, just in case you're wondering, you guys were number nine. Now, but what happened was this. It was based on a book by Jules Verne. Anyone ever heard of Jules Verne? Excellent. Okay. And it was based, he wrote Journey to the Centre of the Earth. You guys, you look at me thinking, he cracks jokes and knows sort of literature, alright? And the book was called From the Earth to the Moon. And it was based on this idea that you could go to the moon by being shot out of a great big cannon with gunpowder. I understand, not a true story, but that's the whole point of this book. That was the idea. And this big cannon was called a Comniad. Okay, or Comniad or something like that. Try to spell that in your children's songs. And it was a whacking great big cannon that would shoot you out, you see, and you went up to the moon. And that was the idea of it. So they built it. And I'm going to sketch it for you now. All right? I'm going to sketch it for you now. Can you see what I'm doing here? Excellent. Now, what? Because otherwise I'm saying the perspective is all wrong. So, what? It's this. And it's got that sight at the top like that. And it's got then the Comniad thing, the kind of gunpowder thing is there. You see? There's a little door there. Pathway. Like that. See? There's a French man standing there. Alright, I'll put this in scale for you. Can you guys see I'm in the way, aren't I? I don't think I can bother, do I really? But anyways. And I'll put a tree. I'll put a tree there for perspective, alright? And what I'll do as well, so you can see how big this thing is, alright? That's a Brachiosaurus there, alright? There, and I'll tell you what I'll do. While I'm on a roll, there's a T-Rex, alright? Probably a bit big, that T-Rex. Anyway, this is a great big thing, Space Mountain in Euro Disney, right? So, what you do, is you've got your children, there's only 9 or 10 of them, okay? They're all young, sort of 11 or 12, and you go around, and what they want to do is straight to the London Space Mountain, you see? But you say to your children, no, we can't go on Space Mountain yet. All right, because it'll be so exciting going on Space Mountain that all the other rides won't be very good in comparison, right? And what you do is you look at your watch thinking, yeah, we've got to go at 5. I'll just keep putting it on. So we went on Peter Pan. On Peter Pan's Adventure. You see? Like that, right? And then we went on Indiana Jones. Bit scary. Indiana, bit scary. All right? And then we went on the roller coaster, on the train, the runaway train. The runaway train, mate. Alright? Okay, are you with me? Mm-hmm. And all these interviews, kids are going, we're going to Space Mountain. We're going to build you up to Space Mountain. Anyway, we had no choice. 4 o'clock, we had no choice. I thought, we'll get in the queue. We'll queue up. It'll be too late to go on Space Mountain. We'll have to go home. Poor children. Unlucky. Alright? So, we get in the queue. And what they used to do with the queue, you queue up on the pathway here. Alright? Chen, you can't see this. Up along the pathway. And then you go through the door, you start to queue up inside Space Mountain, you see, all the pathway went inside. And when you're inside Space Mountain, it's pitch black in there, there's all these kind of railings and gates and stuff, and you could appear through and see the roller coaster go. Hear the crowds moaning, people shouting, get me off of here, I'm going to die. All these kind of things to build the atmosphere up. And the kids, they're all gagging to go on it. They're like, yes, we want to scream out, I'm going to die. We can't wait. And I am terrified. I'm white, okay, my normally calm, my normally calm, reserved approach, like you see now, has gone to pieces, pretty scary stuff. And you start to cut, you go past and the trains go by, and then what happens, you get into the kind of, into Launch HQ, right, Launch HQ, I didn't make this stuff up, alright, this is the way it was built, Launch HQ, and a little TV screen appears. And it flashes into view, there's a little Chinese lady on there, right? And she says, welcome to Space Mountain. Space Mountain is a scary ride that goes on in complete dark, she says. And she said it with that kind of, you know that Christine Blakely who's on Strictly Come Dancing now? You know, who watched the one show? She's got one of those smiles, isn't she? No, she's like that. Welcome to Blake Mountain. I'm the HQ. You're going on the thing. Do you know what I mean? Like a smile, because I know you're going to be absolutely terrified in about 30 seconds. But I don't have to, because I'm just an accident page. Do you know what I mean? So she smiles, and she says, if you've got back trouble, you must not ride on Space Mountain. Something like that. But children don't say, you haven't got back trouble, because when you were on Peter Pan, no problem there. Do you know what I mean? You should go on it again. It didn't work. A bit further. And then the computer screen comes on again. It's the Chinese lady again. She's back again. With that smile. Not unlike yourself, sir. She's back again, the Chinese lady. She says this. Big smile, Christine back to smile. She says this. She says, Space Mountain is a scary roller coaster. In the right air. Fat boy said. It's a scary roller coaster ride in the dark, she says. With a 360-degree loop. Right? 360-degree loop. She said, if you suffer with epilepsy, right, you must not ride Space Mountain. So I'm trying to show China what they do, really. I'm trying to sort of make funny stuff. They go, sir, when we were on Peter Pan's ride, there was no problem there with epilepsy, there were no flashing lights or anything, so I couldn't use that as an excuse. So we queue a bit longer, and the tension's being built. That's the worst thing, isn't it? The tension building up is the worst thing. So we queued for a bit longer, and then the little computer screen comes up, the Chinese lady again. She says about the darts, and she says about the 360, she says the corkscrew. She says you take off from 0 to 60 in 8 point whatever seconds. She said, if you're a pregnant woman, what can I do? So anyway, you queue up, you go down the stairs, and you're in this launch area, and the trains come in, and lots of people pointing and going, and you know, there's countdowns and stuff, and there's an insurance guy there taking details down. Okay, you know, yeah, fair enough, yeah, you're about that high, there's undertakers around the corner as well, measuring things up. And you sit in this train, the kids are absolutely, they can't wait, fantastic. And you know it's going to be one of those roller coaster rides that's going to be scary, because you sit right down in like this, down here, when they put like this, I don't know why I'm doing that really, I can just do that from up here, can I? I'm just getting into it. And I strap one over, and they strap one over, then they strap one down, and they put an oxygen mask on, you know what I mean? You know it's going to be pretty gruesome. And it all goes quiet, and you know that you're in this thing for good then, and all of a sudden, rather than it goes kickity, 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 like you expect from the old-fashioned roller coasters. Do you remember? Do you remember when you were young, you used to be on the old-fashioned roller coasters down at the seaside? Do you remember, miss? Yeah? Yeah? Do you remember? The old toffee apples and all that. Oh, it took me back. But it doesn't do it anymore, because now it's electromagnetism, see? Whoosh! And you're straight up there, and what happens is, this kind of cannon bit, all the way through the day, okay, this cannon's been firing these things off, and every time it fires, boom, and everybody in the park stops and goes, oh, here goes some more people into Space Mountain. So one minute, you're there, in the cannon, you see, and while you're looking at it, at Euro Disney, you think, get the old camera out. So anyway, get the old camera out, I'll take a photo, because once, you know, when you get up the top here before you go in this thing, you'll get some really wicked sort of views, you know what I mean? So you've got the camera ready, you know, you can't really see for it, because your hands are wedged in place, so you think, yeah, I think I've got a perspective about right there. So, you're okay there. And just as it stops, there's a little bit of peace and quiet. There's a sound of a distant clanging bell. There's a vulture sitting on the side. The Grim Reaper's sharpening up his axe. Do you know what I mean? It's that kind of thing. And then all of a sudden, the music kicks in. Little speakers, you see, in the settee. Little speakers in the seat. Da-da, there it goes. Da-da. And then, the sort of thrill music starts. And all of a sudden, whoosh, you're doing 0 to 60, your kidneys are still where they were about 2 seconds ago, you're at the top there, you're trying to look up like this, and you're in, pitch black, and you go straight vertical down, and asteroids going past you, and shooting stars, and there's all this music going, wow, isn't this amazing, and you're thinking to yourself, I am going to die, that's what you're thinking, and it sort of takes you around, you're upside down, you're backwards and forwards, and then you get to the top, and it stops. Now, that's when you open your eyes, okay? Because you think to yourself, it must be finished. And you can see the moon's there, and you think, fantastic, Jules Verne from the Earth to the Moon, I must be there. But the thing is, you're not there. You're halfway there, you see? Because the moon's smiling, there's all this heavenly music. And then the moon's face changes. It's like that. And then it's like, and then you're thinking, gutted, and then the music goes, and then you go absolutely flying down. And you go left and right, upside down, or whatever, and your kidneys are way over there again. And then you pull in, and you've landed. Whoosh, and you stop, and that's it, you're out again. And you think to yourself, I've done it. 111 seconds, I did it. I never have to do that again. And you get off and the kids get off with you and they go and look at the photographs and your hair's sticking up when I used to have it and all your face is white, it's an absolute disaster. And the children say one thing to you, let's do it again, they say. No, we've got to get to the coach. As you come out of Space Mountain, you see one of Jules Verne's quotes. And he was a very scientific guy, and his quote was this. He said, well, because gunpowder knows no limits, and because human imagination has no limits, there's no end to the possibilities for man. Nothing is impossible for us. That's the quote as you go through. I remember it really vividly. And that quote stayed with me. It stayed with me through my life. But it stayed with me until I came to an opportunity to preach that particular verse. And I thought to myself, what's the biblical verse which pours water on that particular phrase, that particular quote? What pours water from Scripture, from the mouth of God, on that very proud, if you like, that very exciting, no limits kind of view that humanity has? Well, if there was a verse, then perhaps our friend read it earlier on. He's saying nothing's impossible. And what the writer to the Hebrews is saying is, well, actually, without faith, it is impossible to please God. In fact, let's sort this out. You're so proud of your human achievements and you're so proud of your limits. And look, we can write books about how we've gone to the moon and we're heading off to Mars now. And we're going to build even taller towers where ground zero is. All that is fabulous. But there's nothing that's impossible to us. And yet what God says is actually the most basic thing is impossible for you. All these things you can do, but the most basic thing is impossible. You cannot please me. That's what God says. You cannot please your Creator. So strip everything away, we'll reduce that down to zero, we'll get right back to the basics, forget the flashy stuff, forget what's going on medically, forget what is going on with technology, forget the Beijing Olympics and the fact we could cause the rain to stop, forget all of that. The basic thing is, men, women, boys and girls, you cannot please your Creator because you have no faith. That's it. That was the first thing that came to me. There I am, I'm in the coach, the boys and girls are saying, how many times did you go on Space Mountain? Fantastic, wonderful, all telling their funny stories, oh, Mr. Arthur was this, Mr. Arthur was that. But actually, Mr. Arthur was away with it. Because what Mr. Arthur was thinking was, wow, we can't even please our Creator without faith. And that's my question to you this afternoon. On what may be for you a pretty insignificant day. Perhaps you came because you felt a sense of duty. Perhaps you come because your friends are here. Perhaps you come and you are a committed Christian. You've loved the Lord Jesus Christ for many, many years. You've followed him. You can count his blessings. Maybe you're someone who has gone through the motions. You can say the Christian thing. When you go through next door to get your cup of tea, you'll say all the right things. But actually you know that your heart is far from the God. Or perhaps you're not even a Christian. Perhaps you think you are one. But you're not. Then you've got to get to grips in this next 5 minutes with what faith actually is. Because what faith is significant to us, because if we are not in a position where we can please God before our little lives are finished, then we will be eternally condemned for that. So we best get things right. We had best be certain of what we hope for. We had best know, dear friend, exactly where we're going. We had best be absolutely sure that heaven is our goal. There's something for you to think about. Is that you? Are you sitting there saying, bring it on. I cannot wait. I know where I am going. There is a heaven. There is a hell. This generation don't preach on hell as much as they should do. It's still there. The fires are still burning. And I've got to make sure I don't end up there. Because my family are going. And my friends are going. And my work colleagues are going. And I've got to make sure it's not me. And I've got to make sure I'm preaching the gospel to my friends. Because they are going there. Remember the statistic, 9 out of 10 people don't think they're going to hell. Remember that. 2% of the country are evangelical. So let's say roughly 2% of the country are going to heaven, perhaps. Statistics are dodgy things. But most of the people out there driving past Nuxley Road, they've got not the faintest idea of what condemnation is. Well, what about you? Are you absolutely certain? Are you absolutely certain that you're going to be able to please God because you know you're going to heaven? Because your sins have been forgiven. And are you absolutely certain that you can put your trust in Jesus Christ? That's what the verse calls for. there was a two-pronged part to it. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe. You've got to know that Jesus Christ is good enough, is strong enough, is the absolute Savior, who will take away every single sin you ever had, will give you complete forgiveness. You've got to be absolutely sure that if I walk out from here now and I don't make it across the road to where my wife has parked the car, I know exactly that in that blink of an eye I'm going to be in eternity. I'm absolutely sure. No one will take that away from me. I know. I don't want to pick anyone out here, but I will do. Mark knows. What a thrill it was for me as a teacher to have little Mark come up to me when he was this high. He's a little bit taller now. To come up to me and say, I've given my heart to Jesus Christ. He knew. He knew at that instant. He knew at that instant that he was going to earn a reward because he earnestly sought him. You've got to know in your heart. I'm talking to the young people now. I'm talking to the young people who are not perhaps young enough to come up here to do the actions, but they still come to church. What about you guys? What about you guys? You sneaked in here. You're happy to come. Perhaps you didn't really want to come. Perhaps you'd rather watch the football on Sky. Who knows what the story is. But what about you? What about you who have come along because your wife's come along? Or because your husband's come along? What about you? Do you know where you're going? Do you know Jesus Christ can take away your sin? Do you know that without those two aspects, it will be impossible for you to please God? And do you know that living in a society where it's all about rewards, isn't it? It's all about ticking the boxes, meeting the criteria. I know about this because of Ofsted. That's my benchmark for work. Am I doing this? Am I doing that? Am I doing that? Am I doing that? Am I doing that? Well, I hope so. My children are learning. Before Ofsted came along, my children were learning. Ofsted are here, my children are learning. What about you? What are your criteria? The boss comes along, you've got to make sure you achieve that, you've got to make sure you're doing that. What about your criteria, those of you that don't work, gardeners weld on a Friday, oh dear, make sure you're doing that, make sure, don't forget that, don't forget. Everybody works on criteria, but that's not what Christianity's about. It's not about ticking boxes. Jesus Christ did it all for us. It is finished, he said. And without faith to believe that when he cried that out and the temple curtain was torn in two, it meant all we had to do was say, we can't do this. We're powerless. We're coming before you because you have done it all. Save me. I'm a sinful person. Do you know that conviction deep in your heart? Because without it, it is impossible to please God. And with this, I close. Perhaps you do. It's no good being in this holy huddle. Wow, what a lovely welcome we had. We've had cheerful people, friendly people introducing themselves. We have this dear friend here who spoke to my wife and said, oh, have you come from Tiny Top? Eager to make a contact with us because she didn't realise I was a visiting speaker. Well, bless your heart. Strangers are going to come in. They need to be welcome, don't they? Yeah? So fantastic. You've earned your reward there for that. That was wonderful. Ron said, oh, no, I'm with the visiting speaker. But you weren't to know. But you held out your hand in friendship and you wanted to say hello to someone. That's exactly. We felt a very sense of a warm welcome here. You're beautiful singers. You're loud with your singing, which means you believe what you're singing. Amen to that. The little children are growing up knowing the Lord. So now what about your mission fields? Because you'll take that verse away with you, won't they? Without faith it's impossible to please God. Because anyone needs to know they've got to believe in who they seek and that they will be earnestly, they'll be rewarded for those who earnestly seek. So you've now got to take that verse, you've got to put it in your mind, you've got to go out into the workplace, you've got to go over the garden fence with it, you've got to go into the post office, you've got to go to Blue Water with it, you've got to go uptown with it. What about your mission field? What about the people now who the Lord has laid a particular burden on? You know who they are, don't you? For me, it's mum and dad, both non-Christians. It's Ron's mum and dad, both non-Christians. It's Ron's older sister, non-Christian. It's my younger sister, non-Christian. Both from completely non-Christian families. It's for my football friends I play with on a Saturday, all non-Christians. It's for the people I work with in my department, Blinded by Evolution, all non-Christians. That's my mission field. It's George, he's the dry cleaner down the road, my mission field. What about you? What are your mission fields? You're the only Bible they're ever going to read. And you've heard a verse today that says without faith it's impossible to please God. In other words, the people you love and the people that you have on your heart right now, the people you're thinking about as I'm wrapping up today, they're the people who won't make it. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. What are you going to do in this day and age? Then you bring in harvest. The Bible says that the fields are white It means the fields are ready to be harvested. You don't have to do any of the groundwork. You don't have to do any of the hard work, pouring through it, getting the machinery out, furrowing the ground, breaking stuff, doing the weeding. You don't have to do that. All you've got to do is pluck it. It's there, white and ready. The Lord has said, just go out and just find them. Just say your word. I'll do the rest. My Holy Spirit will do the rest. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's what I want to leave you with today. It's been fabulous to be here. Thank you so much for your warm welcome. I look forward to seeing you again. Let's close our eyes and let's meditate on what we've learned today as I read these words to you. Teach us to serve our neighbour's need, the homeless help, the hungry feed, the poor protect, the weak defend, and to the friendless prove a friend, the wayward and the lost reclaim, for love of Christ and in his name. Lord, we've had just a little look, a very light look at what your word says. Lord, I mean, it was funny, wasn't it, the story? We could see the funny side of a roller coaster ride designed for fun, but we see also the perhaps very innocent workings of a very clever and articulate man thinking that to mankind anything is possible. And yet, Lord, as Christians we know the reverse. There's nothing possible. We are powerless. It's only you. Only you are powerful. Only you say to creation, nothing is impossible for me. Lord, we look at these very somber words, these very serious words, and we ask you, Lord, for mercy. We think now in our hearts of those that we love, those who you've given as our mission field, those who are looking at us and looking at the way we live our lives and the way that we speak and the way that we act. They're looking for patience and gentleness, and they're looking for those gifts of the Spirit. Lord, we pray that you would once again give us opportunities to speak to those who are lost.
Amen.
Lord, please, we pray that you would help us to be Bibles that people will read, that we will be attracted to those around us, that they would want to come in and they would want to find out more. Lord, we pray, and we pray this reverently, Lord, that you would cause this place to be so bursting that we would give Mark and the leadership team here a problem, that we would have to rebuild this place, because there are so many people in this lost and wayward area, Lord, that they would be searching for the truth, and they would want to find it here with this dear group of believers. We all have a job to do. Lord, may it be imprinted in our minds that without faith it is impossible to please you, Lord. And Lord, too, might we look at ourselves, might we look at ourselves in a very long and somber way, a very serious way. May we reflect on what our faith is like. Lord, is our faith a faith that pleases you? Are we obedient? Do we sacrifice? And if so, Lord, we come to the cross and we ask for forgiveness, and we thank you that we can do that. We thank you for unity. We thank you, as our brothers already prayed for the good things you give us. We thank you that you're a Father who loves us. We thank you for the cross and what it means to each one of us. And we pray you remain with us now. We pray for a good social time now, a time of friendship and fellowship. And we pray, Lord, you would bless us, because you're a Father who loves to give good gifts to his children. And we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's just close the prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Lord, we thank you for this reminder that without faith it's impossible to please God. And Lord, we just pray that you are pleased to give a gift of faith to many here, Lord, who do not know you. Lord, we do thank you now for the way that you bless us. We thank you for the food that's outside, and we just give you our thanks for it, and pray you bless it to us.
Mm.
And bless us, Lord, as we meet and chat later. We pray these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.